The new baseball season is on, with new rules to speed up play and heighten fan interest. Bigger bases, no shift rules, a timer on both pitcher and batter. Today we hear from Randy Levine, the labor law veteran, Emmy Award-winning producer, and president of the best-known franchise in sports, the New York Yankees, about how these changes may help ensure the future of America's favorite pastime, baseball. From Ballard Studios, it's 13th and Park.
The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
We will make America strong again. We will get through this together.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Randy, welcome to the show. You know, I promise, by the way, right up front, I'm not going to ask you for your prediction of who's going to win the next World Series, but I'm pretty confident, as is Justin, that you want to turn the clock back a little bit to the first year that Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, opened in the last great triumph.
Well, let's hope this year is as great and as exciting as that first year was. We feel pretty good about it. Baseball this time of year, it's about hope. Everybody thinks that they have a really good chance. We have a great team that was put together, some great players. A lot of it is about just limiting injuries. And so that's the wild card factor, limiting injuries in this game. It's a long season, trying to keep your players on the field and healthy. Sometimes that makes the difference between winning a championship and not.
Okay, Justin, I wanted to say this. Justin, batter up.
All right, here's my swing. Randy, obviously there's a lot of talk right now about some of the new rules that the Major League Baseball is going to be implementing in the new season. The time clocks, the bigger bases, the rules against infield shifts. We're going to play a clip and then we'll come back and ask you a question about it.
This game is for you, the fan. You want the action to flow. The bat on the ball and carrying on the base paths.
This is the game we all want to see.
Get the ball, pitch the ball.
Keep the defense on their toes.
Field like Ozzy, run like Ricky. So get that shift out of here. Free up the players to put on a show. It's the best game in the world. Now it's even better.
What do you believe the league hopes to accomplish with these new rules? And was it difficult to get owner consensus on making these changes?
First time I've seen that ad. I think it's great. Really, really well done. It was not hard at all. We have a competition committee. The commissioner has done a very, very good job in driving this process. I mean, our games were just too long and there was too many pauses, too much delay. Pitchers walking around the mound, hitters stepping out of the box. These games were going to be 4 hours. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of things to do. Baseball's entertainment. They just didn't have 4 hours. So we tried a lot of things in order to shorten up the game and also make it much more action-driven, as the commercial just showed. And by taking away the shift, that's going to help a lot of players get hits, put the ball in play that might have been, you know, outs or pop outs to short left or right field. Making the bases bigger will hopefully help put the stolen base back into play. That along with limitations on how many times a pitcher can throw over. So it's an attempt to make the game more entertaining, speed it up so these games, you know, can get done in 2.5 to 3 hours, which is what most people, I think, find to be a really great time to get it done. Put more action into the game where less strikeouts, less no contact, more contact happening, more base paths, more runners, you know, running. So it was all a combination. It took a lot of effort to get the rules precise to make sure that they worked, not only with ownership, but also with the union, the players themselves and the Players Association. And at least from spring training, all the initial data and information that we've heard is our fans love it. It's a great success.
So I've got to talk about one in particular, 15 square inches to 18 square inches on the bases, right? And I thought, of course, immediately of a former Yankee, Ricky Henderson. who, of course, has the current MLB record of over 1,400 steals. I think he led the American League for 9 different seasons. And my friend Jim Palmer once remarked that if you walk Ricky, it's a triple, right? Because he's going to third base with his speed. How do you think, obviously, it's going to lead to more temptation to steal? That's got to be exciting, because I think I saw somewhere that fans want more stolen bases as a part of the regular experience of baseball.
I agree. I think it's going to lead to actual much more steals, much more attempted steals. Pitchers are going to have to find a new way to hold runners on since they can't throw over 10 times in a row. Mm-hmm. But yes, our fans want more action on the base paths. That's the reason for this rule. So what's the percentage of guys who would be safe with the new bases rather than the old? I don't think it's going to be that much, but we'll know at the end of this year.
With a national pastime that has all this history, to make all these changes, that's something for baseball, isn't it? And it's also exciting. We don't quite know what it's going to fully yield, but we do know it's going to be a different kind of experience.
We have a lot of traditionalists who resist change in any form. There was resistance to change when we went to the designated hitter, and we went to the designated hitter in both leagues. Mm-hmm. There was resistance, there still is, to the, you know, the ghost rule in extra innings, which our fans seem to really like. Again, shorten the game. Mm-hmm. But we're in the entertainment business. You have to adapt to the times. The fact of the matter is, the beauty of baseball is there's no clock. You sit and enjoy the game, and time is basically not relevant. But when that time just gets to be too much, where you start to lose your customer and your fans' interest, you have to make a change. So that's what this is all about, responding to our customer base, responding to our fans, responding to especially a younger generation that really is used to the social media, instant feedback, you know, on devices, data, where, you know, people my age might be a little slower. So it's all about changing with the times and doing it in a way that's responsible. I don't think these things will really, really alter the game in a material way. I think they'll make them better. There were no shifts for many years in baseball, you know, now there are. So as baseball became more precise and more specialties, the game got longer, the pitching got better, and it was less action, too many strikeouts. So within the realm of the realistic, we're trying to make it better. And we'll see. I think so far it's working.
So, Randy, we just finished a few days ago the finals of the World Baseball Classic down in Miami. And question to you is, what do you think the impact of that, the most recent World Baseball Classic, will have on the appeal of global interest in the sport of baseball throughout the globe or even domestically?
I'm on the International Committee of Baseball, so I'm very proud of this. The WBC this year was a rip-roaring home run, mm-hmm. a giant success. I think 60, 70 million people watching games in Japan. If you saw the games in Phoenix and Miami, packed stadiums, people were having a great time. I mean, there was a lot of enthusiasm. And the games were great games. Yeah. Every one of them were great. So I think it really helped great television ratings. You know, Fox gets real credit for jumping in here. I think that it helps expand the game. You know, obviously baseball is very popular in North America and Central America, getting much more popular in South America. You know, Venezuela has always been a key baseball country. Panama getting more important. Now, Colombia, you saw how great they did. So it's starting to grow. But now you look at Europe, it's really starting to take hold. We've done a lot of events in Europe. The Yankees played the Red Sox in London. They were sold out. This year, the Cardinals and Cubs will play there. We played games in Japan and China, Australia. So the game has global reach, but we have a lot of work to do to continue to expand it. But the WBC was a phenomenal, phenomenal success. This was the best one we ever had.
Thank you.
Let me bring it now back to the Bronx. How are the Yankees going to do this year? I mean, you re-signed Aaron Judge, which was a huge achievement. You got one of the best pitchers in baseball. You signed Carlos Rodon as well. And you've got others. One of the youngest players, I think, coming from the minors is now on, I just read, is on the roster. As a labor lawyer, someone that's been through this a lot, we're in the era of mega deals with big stars and big money. How has that and free agency changed not just baseball, perhaps, but even just professional sports?
It's been in this age for a long time. Just the dollars get bigger and the contracts get longer. As I said, we have great players. We have a great manager, a great organization, great owner. And we have all the pieces that can win a championship. We've been to the playoffs, deep in the playoffs many times, but in the last 10 years, we haven't won the championship. And as I said, all we can do is put the pieces together that gives you an opportunity to compete for a championship. Our goal every year is to win the championship. That's the Yankee way. So, you know, Aaron Judge is one of the best players, if not the best player in the game. He was a must sign for us, and Al Steinbrenner stepped up and got it done. Carlos Rendon's a great pitcher. I think he's going to be great for us. But as I said, it's a long season. There are a lot of great teams. Injuries are going to have a big impact on who goes where. So we feel really good about it, but you got to play the games on the field and go from there. And sometimes it's not just the big money guys who get it done. It's guys who are hungry and who come up. You know, the whole city today is so excited because our number one pick from a few years ago, Anthony Volpe, 21-year-old kid from Northern New Jersey, you know, is going to be the starting shortstop of the Yankees. And that's exciting for this fan base to watch a kid grow up in front of them and now be the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees on opening day. But it's about competition and about playing. And, you know, we think we put a team on the field that can win a championship. And it's the old saying, Adam, whether it's in politics or in sports, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So we need a little luck.
A little luck always helps. Well, right. you have a leadership position at a storied franchise in Major League Baseball. How did you get involved or take an interest in baseball, and how would you characterize your rise to your position that you are now? What were the keys to your success?
I guess being in the right places at the right times. How I got involved with the Yankees, I was George Steinbrenner's outside lawyer for a period of time. There was a period of time when he got removed from baseball, and I was one of the two lawyers who got him reinstated. Then I was counsel to the Yankees and, you know, had a great relationship with him. I had represented some other baseball owners when I was a lawyer. And when the time came, George, being the great visionary as he was, came to me and said, I'd been deputy mayor for Rudy Giuliani at the time and was going to leave. And he said to me, I have this great baseball team, but I want to build a great sports and entertainment company. And I think you can really help me to do that. Can't do it on my own. That was his great strength. He knew his strengths and weaknesses. So I became president way back in the year 2000. And, you know, we've managed to build this organization into, you know, if you listen to Forbes or Sportico, people who do this, to a $7 billion company, you know, the premier regional sports network, yes, in the world. Legends Hospitality, which is, you know, one of the great merchandising sales companies. We're partners with New York City Football Club in MLS soccer. We have a small interest in AC Milan, you know, the soccer team. And we have a lot of assets in the sports and entertainment business. That just takes a lot of effort, a lot of work in order to take your brand. As George had said, we have a great baseball team, great brand. But the Yankee brand is always known throughout the world as one of the great brands. You need to utilize it, monetize it, and get it out there. And that's what we've been fortunate with, you know, a lot of great people around me. It's not just me to get it done.
Well, I don't know if I'm more impressed by the fact that you are or have been an Emmy Award-winning executive producer for the YES Network, or probably my favorite is the board position you now have on AC Milan, who, for those who don't know and should know, a major storied Italian professional soccer team in Serie A. So I have to ask you the question, Are you like Ted Lassoing this thing? I mean, is this your lasso moment?
I think Ted Lasso probably knew more than I did when I started. I actually started, you know, when we joined the City Football Group, which owns the great Manchester City Premier League team, to buy New York City Football Club together. And they have, you know, some of the greatest, greatest footballers, they call it. We call it, you know, soccer here, experts in the world. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, this is going to be very tough on you, because knowing my personality, I'm going to be one of these guys who, as I start to learn, going to be calling you and asking you a lot of stupid, dumb questions. So I had about 5 years of that before I got into AC Milan. So now I'm okay. I still got a lot to learn. It's, you know, soccer is a fascinating sport, great athletes, very, very different than baseball or American sports, but I'm learning. I give my advice mostly on the commercial side, because whether you're selling here or there, it's always the same.
Isn't it, though, that like the Yankees are doing and many other sports owners are getting into more than one sport? You know, you have co-ownership of soccer teams and football teams and basketball teams. What are the advantages, Randy, of that? Is there a knowledge or experience base that really helps propel success across different sports once you kind of have a model that's working in one?
If you're successful in this business, in the, what I call the sports and entertainment business, and you know how to reach fans, you know how to reach customers, you know what works for them, what doesn't, you're up on the data and the type of ways, digital ways and old commercial ways you can get the customers, make the games easier, more interest. You know, today's sports, mobile sports gambling, for example, is huge, and how you integrate it, giving people, you know, choices when they come to the ballpark, what to eat, what to drink, tickets and so forth. So at the end of the day, it's all about, if you can do it here in one place, there's a good chance some of those ideas would work in another place.
Favorite moment. I mean, you're 20 plus years with the New York Yankees, and everyone is thinking, who's listening to this, my gosh, all the experiences, all the moments that Randy has been a part of. Is there anyone that stands out that made you say, wow, this is one cool way to go through life?
Oh, there's not a lot. You know, actually winning in the new Yankee Stadium, winning the World Series in 2009, outstanding moment. You know, being there to watch Derek Jeter get his 3,000th hit, that was, you know, a great moment. And then there were some other moments, you know, that were really touching. After 9/11 at Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium, you know, Prayer for America, bringing all those people together to try and heal. So there's been a lot of great moments and memories.
Well, we know you're preparing for the season. The Giants are straight ahead this week for the opener round for the Yankees. We really applaud you for all you've done for baseball, for professional sport, for the city of New York. And now we, of course, have learned, as you're doing your Ted Lasso moment, that it is an international thing as well. We really appreciate the time. Good luck this year. For all those who aren't Yankee fans, maybe not as much luck, but good luck directly to you.
Thank you. Always great to be with you guys, and always a pleasure. And thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Judge hits one to center field and deep. Going back, love Kiermaier, it. Turning, looking, see ya! A monster home run! Back-to-back home runs by the Baby Bombers in their first big league at-bats! Can you believe it?
So, Adam, that was a fascinating conversation with Randy. And the number one thing I took away from it was the traditional game of baseball, as storied as it is, has to change with the times. That he said it's, they're in the entertainment business. He didn't say they're in the sports business. Right. He said they're in the entertainment business. And he mentioned that younger fans on social media was one of the reasons or sensitivities about some of these changes they're making to create an entertainment product that was more appealing to fans.
I saw a poll recently covering all professional sports. Baseball was number two in the country, not surprisingly, to football. The biggest weakness in baseball was under 30. So what you're talking about in terms of attracting younger fans is completely up their alley in terms of the future of the game. One of the other takeaways that was fascinating for both of us, I think, was the World Baseball Classic. This is America's pastime. And yet Randy Levine was really proud of the fact that the World Baseball Classic, which he was involved with, you know, to some extent, was so bloody successful, and what that means for everybody in the sport.
It was brilliant. And he was even citing the numbers of the viewership in other countries like Japan.
Right.
So obviously he was following the viewership very closely. And from his perspective, home run, which makes sense because, like he said towards the end of the interview, the Yankees is an international brand. So it's great for Major League Baseball. It's also great for the Yankees as well to have that penetration of the sport globally, as we saw from the World Baseball Classic.
Well, I can tell you, Randy Levine, going back and still to this day, is a tremendously skilled labor lawyer and negotiator. He's been at the table for a lot of the deals, but he's got kind of a pride, you can tell, about what he does, as well as who he does it with. And I'll tell you, you know, in a world that's grown somewhat callous to a lot of things, you can just feel that when that first baseball is thrown between the Yankees and the Giants this week, he's going to be all in as a fan as much as he is the president of the Yankees.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, of all the major sports, baseball to me is the most romantic. Not male, female, or romantic in that sense, but romantic in the Field of Dreams sense. It's the father and the son playing catch together. It's the bonding that happens as a result, and it's the history of the sport. That's what makes that. And so when you're a part of that tradition, and especially the tradition of the New York Yankees, it would be hard to feel that sense of mystique and romanticism about the sport.
The two words I'm now looking forward to this week: play ball.
Don't miss future episodes by following us on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast platforms, or go to the YouTube channel where you can subscribe for free.